Today we're going to look at being sure of God's guidance. Okay, we've talked about living in the fear of God last week. Today we'll look at how we can be sure of God's leadership and guidance in our life. Okay, so looking at Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, I think all of us should have a copy of the notes. Okay, all of us should have a copy of the notes. Let's read the verse in front, okay? I hope by printing out the verses, you will not soon say, I won't bring my Bibles anymore, okay? You still have to bring your Bibles. Please refer to it, okay? Let's look at Proverbs chapter 3. If you don't have notes, please take it so that you can read. And let's read together. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, and say a wonderful verse of God's precious guidance. Okay, ready? One, two, go. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Okay? Now, the Bible is full of God's guidance. Okay? The Bible is God's guidance. There are many instances in the Bible that God actually led his people. Okay? Or led his children. Can you name any? Can you name any in the Bible that God actually led his children? Sorry? Joseph, okay, God was with Joseph as he had to go through a terrible time. About 20 years of imprisonment and betrayal and blackmailing and being forgotten. Okay, 20 years, but God was with Joseph that led Joseph to being the prime minister of Egypt. Anyone else that God led? Paul, okay. Paul was led also in the different missionary journeys. He wanted to go this way, God stopped him, he went another way. Anyone else? Sorry? Moses, yes, God actually used Moses, led him, and then Moses says, God, I can't say anything. You know, I don't say, I'm the one who made your mouth, so let's follow, okay? And Moses followed, and definitely God led them to the promised land. Anyone else on this side? Joshua. It's interesting, Joshua went to the promised land. The Bible actually says he did everything that God told him to do. He conquered the whole promised land. Although there were still enemies in the land, God said, Joshua, you've done your job. I've led you in, you have followed me, you've done everything. Anyone else? One more? From this side. God's leadership. Noah. Okay, Noah is one. Okay, Noah was living in a terrible time. And God says, go and build the ark. And of course, Noah fell into sin later on. But you know, God still led Noah to build the ark. Which is actually something that is very, very unspoken of in those days. Because they have never had rain. They have never seen the boat. But God did ask them to build that. Him to build that. Okay? Now, there are also many verses, clear promises in the Bible, right? Can anyone name a few promises of God that God says He will guide us? Okay, one of them in Proverbs 3, 5. Anyone else? Any verses that come to your mind of God's leadership and guidance in our life? This side? Or anyone? Joshua 1, 9. Okay, have I not commanded thee? Be strong and very good courage, for the Lord thy God is with thee, with us wherever you go. Okay, good. What? This side, anyone? Any other verses of God's specific guidance? Which is? Okay. Okay, so that is actually a promise that, because the nation of Israel was actually what? Robbing God, not giving God what is his due. And God promises that if you will do your part, I'm going to do my part to bless you. Okay? And now let's turn to Psalm 32, okay? Psalm 32 and verse 8. I just give you one wonderful verse. We talked about it last time. Last time is last year, but it's a wonderful verse. Psalm 32, verse 8. All right, let's read together of God's guidance. Ready? Ready? One, two, go. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Okay, what do you get from this verse? I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way that thou shalt go. I will guide thee. What do you get from this verse? Anyone? What do you get from this verse? I will. What do you get from this verse? Any thoughts? Just God's personal guidance. No, God says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way that thou shalt go. In other words, I'll tell you where to go, I'll tell you how to get there, and I'll personally lead you. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way that thou shalt go, and I will guide thee with my own eye. In other words, I will be personally involved in that leadership of your life. Okay, and that's so important. You know, as we begin, we're still in January, so I can say as we begin this year. Okay, life is full of choices, and this year some of you are going to make big choices. Okay, for some, like Sister Allison, has to make a choice about the different courses she has to take. Okay, knowing that the moment she makes a decision, it's going to determine her life for either the next 10 years or the next 1 year. Why? Next 10 years because you continue in a career and you're happy with it. Next 1 year, you say, no, that's not what I want to do after going into it. Okay? And usually in major life-changing decisions, Christians need to actually get alone with God and say, God, what do you want me to do? Many Christians don't see God's will. And as a result, they actually walk through the wilderness for years. Okay? And that's something that's so important. Life is full of choices. Would you agree? Every day we make choices. Okay? Some of us, it's not about life direction. Some of us, it's about the friends we make. Okay? The friends we mix with will determine what kind of person you'll become next time. Did you know that? The type of friends you mix with will determine the type of person you'll become next time. Another thing that will influence your direction is the type of books you read. Now, some people will just read. But the influence of the books can actually affect you for the rest of your life. Okay, that's a very, very important thing. You know, I strongly encourage all to read Christian books. Okay? Books by men of God. Who missionaries, autobiographies, Christian teaching. Because that will help you to give a strong foundation. Okay? How many of you agree there's a lot of trash on the internet? A lot of trash. You need to be and as a Christian, you need to be very clear. Because the type of maybe in your own minds you can think, what are the type of internet websites that are going all the time? If you tell me what kind of internet websites you're going all the time, I'll tell you what kind of person you become next time. If all you go to is Korean pop, you want to dress like them, or J-pop, or whatever, you will become like them. And you'll never become the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's something that's very important, okay? So life is full of choices. Where we work as well, okay, different parts of the world. I'm thankful some of the brethren have come here and we have the opportunity to be a ministry to them. Even for those growing up, okay, the choices we make will determine what kind of direction we have. Let's look at Jeremiah 10 verse 23, okay. We are constantly having to make choices and we simply do not know sometimes what is right and wrong. Turn to Jeremiah 10 23, which is actually there, okay. If you look at the passage itself, it's very interesting. Let's read Jeremiah 10:23. Here, ready? 1, 2, go. O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. What does this verse mean? Anyone? What does this verse tell you? If you read the context of Jeremiah chapter 10, you will realize that Jeremiah was actually indicating his personal inadequacy to make the right decisions. Okay, I say again. Jeremiah is actually indicating his own inadequacy. That means he cannot trust himself to even make the right decisions. Okay? How do I know that? You look at Jeremiah 10, chapter 10, alright? And verse 23. If you read the whole passage, you will find that God is just indicating to them, you guys have walked away from me, you've made the wrong decisions, etc. Like, for example, in verse number 19, woe is me for my hurt, my wound is grievous, but I said, truly this is a grief, and I was buried. Verse 20, my tabernacle is spoiled, and all my cords are broken, my children are gone full of me, and they are not, it means they are dead. There is none to stretch forth my tent anymore, and set up my curtains, for the pastors have become animalish, brutish, and have not sought the Lord. Therefore they shall not prosper, and all their flocks shall be scattered. Behold, the noise of the bruit is come, and the great commotion out of the north country, to make the cities of Judah desolate, and the den of dragons. Now this passage, Jeremiah is just saying, look, that's the result of our own decision making. That's the result of our choice. And the pastors have become brutish. They are not seeking the Lord. I don't even have my children are run away from me. And no one is there to pull my tents. Now no one's around to help around the house anymore. Why? Because of the decisions I make. In verse 23, they say, oh Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in him that walketh to direct his steps. Why? Because also in Jeremiah, chapter 17, verse 9, what does the Bible say? 17 verse 9, what does the Bible say? Behold, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Okay, so well, what I'm proposing to you from the Bible is man cannot make decisions rightly without God. And when we choose our own way, we become like Jeremiah, who says, look, everything is destruction around me simply because of the way I, or the choices I make. All right? So this is just an introduction. It helps us to hopefully see, you know, as Christians, we absolutely need God, 100%, in every step of your way. Young people, if you grow up, you think, I can do it myself, I just go the way, I just follow my heart. That's what the world is telling us. Listen to your heart, right? Or you listen to your heart, you go down the wrong way. Because the heart is desperately wicked. So you need to be very, very careful. Okay, so as we begin, we want to look at Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, one of the most glorious promises in the Bible that God gives to His people. Okay? And I like, of course, the adults, of course, we need to take special note of this because we make decisions that influence our children and our families and even the church. Okay? However, for the younger ones, this is a very good starting point to learn to give your heart to someone else, not to the girl or the guy, to God. Okay? And also for younger ones, to give your heart to your parents, who will be able to guide your pathway. And it's so important. I cannot understand. No one, the only a person who doesn't give his heart to God, parents, and parents, or spiritual counsel, you know who you give your heart to? You give your heart to yourself. You become the decider of your own destiny. Okay? And there's a way that seems right to a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of? A ways of death. Alright? When we choose to make our own decisions without any input, we only have 3.5 kilograms here. Your brain. Okay? And your own perception and experience. And I've learned over the years, that's why God needs to give us heavenly guidance, which is from outside, which we cannot sometimes understand. But you know what? It's always the best. All right? Does that make sense? Any questions? Okay? Come, let's go in and look at Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. We'll just be looking at this verse. There are two parts to this verse. Okay? The promise of divine guidance. God promises that He will guide us. We have to look at this verse with a definite confidence, because God says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not unto thine own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Okay? Okay, three promises that God will guide us. Number one is a promise of a personally guided tour through your life. Okay? If you are a Christian, you got God as your guide in this life. That's a promise. That's an absolute promise. You have God as your guide. Okay? How many of you went on guided tours before? Most of us, right? I'm sure, one, whether it's from Malaysia or Taiwan or wherever, okay? Guided tours, okay? How many of you have been in tours whereby you had problems because someone didn't want to follow the tour guide? Or someone always took a longer time at one place and didn't want to follow the itinerary? And everyone is like, oh, wasting our time, we've got to wait for you and all that kind of thing. How many of you have been? And perhaps you may have that kind of unpleasant experience, okay? Unpleasant experience. And after a while, you find that, the guide is there to tell us where we're supposed to go. And if we don't follow the guide, then we will be headed for problems, okay? Now, let's look at Exodus chapter 13, okay? Exodus chapter 13 is a wonderful passage, okay? The first point is actually the promise of God guiding us through our life. And what about you? In Exodus chapter 13, it's a wonderful, wonderful passage. Exodus chapter 13, verse 21. I'd like to read the passage, then you listen to it yourself, okay? Proverbs chapter 13, verse 17. Let me just read there first. Are you there? Okay, this is a wonderful passage of God's leadership in His people's life. It came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them. God was the one who led them. Not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war, and they return to Egypt. Now, for those who are unfamiliar with the story, We know that Israel was in bondage to Egypt for 400 years. God sent Moses to deliver them out. And you know what? As God led Moses out, the Bible says Moses did not lead them, God led them. And God, who can see things from a helicopter view, says, hey, the fastest, those who know the geography of the Middle East, Egypt is here, the Mediterranean Sea is here, the Promised Land is here, the Red Sea is here. So what's the shortest way to the Promised Land? From here to here, right? The problem is, if Israel goes from Goshen to the land of the Promised Land, they would have to cut through this part, and right smack in the middle are the Philistines. They are warriors nation. And God says, look, I'm not going to ask my people to go through there. I'm going to get them to do a detour. Now, the detour will take them to the Red Sea. The detour from here to here is very close, probably a month journey to reach there. But from here to here, they take a longer route. Okay? And God's reason was, I'm not going to put my people through the hardship here because they've just been slaves for 400 years. They are not going to be able to fight these mighty Philistines. Look, I'm going to bring them a different way. Okay? For some Christians, sometimes we think, God, why am I supposed to go through this hardship now? You know, why? This is the fastest way. Why? Or maybe God knew something that we don't. And you know that when you... And sometimes when God takes us through a detour, what was in the middle? The Red Sea. You know how big is the Red Sea? Red Sea is 24 kilometers across, 1 kilometer deep, and wide. Okay? And that is not even the Red Sea. That's just one of the, what we call the tributaries of the Red Sea. But it's huge. You know what's the biggest problem? When Israel went in there, of course, Pharaoh chased. They faced the Red Sea and there were mountains on both sides. They were stuck in the middle. Can't get out, right? So what did God do? Open the Red Sea. And sometimes they say, God, I'm stuck. I can't do anything. No, God, why are you so unfair to me? God is never unfair, neither is He unjust. God knows exactly where He will lead us. The Bible says here, in verse 17, it came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near, for God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and return to Egypt. But verse 18, but God led. Second time the Bible says that God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children went out harnessed out of the land of Egypt. And in verse 20 and 21, look at that. And they took their journey from Succoth and encamped in Etham in the edge of the wilderness, and the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them the way, and by night in the pillar of fire to give them light. You know, this is a definite promise of God's guidance in every Christian's life. In the daytime when it's bright, God gives us the light. When it's dark, God gave us a pillar of fire to guide us in the darkness of our lives. You know, that's a blessing. Every Christian must never come to a place where they feel, God, I'm so confused. I'm so lost. And God says, you're lost because you're not looking at the light. And where's the light? Where's the light? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my heart. There is God's answer to every of life's problems right in here. There's God's answer to all of life's problems right in here. Okay? I wouldn't give up my career if I don't believe this. Every answer to life is inside here. Whether it's marriage, whether it's children, whether it's child training, whether it's finances, as well. God has many, many financial principles inside here that if only Christians will take note of, they won't get into financial problems. Alright? There are many health type of principles inside of here as well. There are also scientific principles inside of here that you can find. Many great men, great scientists have discovered great scientific laws simply because they use the Bible. Did you know what archaeologists go to when they want to find a certain place in the Middle East? They go to the Bible. And without fail, every time where the Bible said where it was, and they start digging, they start to find what God has put in. Okay, there are many, many of these kind of evidences. That's why Christianity is a logical religion. It's a logical relationship because we have a God who knows what He's doing, what He's saying. Okay? So that's a promise, and God promises He will lead us. Okay? Any questions? So I just want to encourage us to realize that God does have the answer. In Psalm 25, verse 9, which is in your notes, let's read together. The Bible says, let's read together, right? Psalm 25, verse 9. Ready? One, two, go. The meek will He guide in judgment, and the meek will He teach His way. Who will He teach His way? The meek. Who are the meek? Those people who don't claim that they know everything. Those people who say, God, really, I'm clueless about life. I need your help. I don't know about child training. I need your help. God, I don't know about marriage. I need your help. God, I don't know about relationships. I need your help. Those people who are not proud and say, God, I blew it. I need your help. You know what God says? I'll come in and help you. Because the meek, no teacher or it's very hard to teach someone who doesn't want to listen. Agree? It's very hard to teach someone for some of you who are teachers or maybe you are instructors, and sometimes you teach people and this person always question you and they say, why don't you try this? This is wrong. Well, if you want to listen, there's nothing I can do to help you, you know. But if you're willing to listen, maybe I can set a plan to help you, okay? Remember, God guides those who are meek. And that's a very important principle. Okay, let's quickly move on. Second promise of God's guidance is it is a promise of guidance relating to every detail and the whole of life. The Bible says, trust in the Lord all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding in all your ways. In all your ways. Acknowledge Him. In all your ways. There is no limit to this promise. You can ask God about your career. You can ask God about your relationship. You can ask God about your boyfriend, girlfriend. You can ask God about the most intimate problems in your life. You can ask God about anything, and God will give you the answer. It's all here. There's no limit. In all your ways, okay? The phrase, all your ways, after I talk about that, okay? But it relates to every part. It's not just the big parts of your life, like marriage, like career, but even what you want to eat or what you need to eat that day. Or maybe you're sick. God, what am I supposed to eat? Of course, God doesn't flash out in the sky, please eat bee hoon soup or something like that. All right? God does give us wisdom here. If you are sick and have a sore throat, don't eat fried food. Yes? Okay, but some people say, no worry, I can take it. Well, go ahead. All right? It may not be a wrong decision, but it can be an unwise decision because you may have to stay in bed for a longer time. All right? But God does give us even wisdom in the small things of our lives. Any questions? God does guide us in every area of our life. Proverbs 16, verse 3. Okay, the verse is there. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy stock shall be established. What's the works there? What do you think the works there is? The works there refers to everything that you do in your life. Your business, your marriage, your cooking, Your relationships with people, even your financial status. You say, Lord, I'm going to work. And Lord, I'm just going to commit. You know, my boss is thankful for a good boss, but you know, he's a bit nitty-gritty. And Lord, sometimes I'm not so. Lord, help me. Even in the work, you can commit to God. And God says what? Your thoughts shall be established. Now, that's an interesting thing. When I was in Australia studying, one of the evangelists, it was during a revival meeting, and so the evangelist, I told him that we actually have exams next week in university. So then he said, he gave me this verse, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Then I thought of it, said, yeah. So the thing is this, commit the examinations as you study to the Lord, and God will settle your thoughts. God will help you to be clear. Okay, this is a verse for every parent to give their children when taking exams, okay? Yeah, so if we cheat taking the primary 4 exam, yeah, Proverbs 16:3, yeah, commit your works. And you know what? It's not the parent committing, it's the child himself to learn. Say, God, I'm taking my exam, help me. And you know what? God is able to calm us and give us the stability there. Okay, any questions? Okay, that's another point. Another third promise is a promise of infallible guidance. It's not just a guidance that personally conducted towards your life. It's not just relating to every detail of your life. But you know what? It's a promise of infallible guidance. You know what that means? That means when God guides you, you will never go wrong. You will never go wrong, you know. Teenagers, are you listening? In your life, if you will listen to God's word, in terms of His guidance, you will never go wrong in your life. Never. Because when God guides you, is infallible. You know, in the Bible, there are some men of God who you look at their life and say, well, no way am I going to be like that, man. How many of you would venture to say, I'm like Joseph when God is guiding me? You know that there's two men in the Bible that's almost flawless in their life. Who are they? Joseph and Daniel. Okay? Daniel is an interesting one. Daniel, as Christians, we know that Daniel followed God all the way, right? He followed God's guidance, right? There was one time on the fourth king. By the way, Daniel was so famous as a Jewish politician that he actually served under four kings and all the kings loved him. They loved him not because of his charisma. They loved him because of his character. They knew that Daniel would do the right thing all the time, and even telling the king off for wrong decisions. And so the four kings actually respected Daniel so much. So at one time, you know, of course the king then promoted him, right? Daniel chapter 6. And all the people were jealous of him. Guess what they did? They said, we're going to snoop around and find something wrong with Daniel. And so they decided to look at every aspect of Daniel's life. You know what the Bible says? They could not find one thing wrong with Daniel's life. He was a man of character. You know, as God guided Daniel, God's guidance is infallible, but it does not mean that we won't get into trouble in this world. Where did Daniel end up after following God? He ended up in the lion's den. Guess what? Even when God guides us there, God was with us. God was with Daniel, was he not? Those lions are those who know the king made a decree, you cannot pray to anyone else except to the king. Of course, the men accused Daniel wrongly, and Daniel didn't have choice. The king didn't have choice, threw Daniel in the lion's den. And what happened in the lion's den? Those lions were absolutely hungry lions. They don't feed the lions. Okay, in those days, they don't feed the lions. They only feed them, those people they throw in. Does it make sense? All right, so the moment a live specimen comes in, they're like, you know, but you know, that night, Daniel was there. The king was absolutely frustrated. Wow, why did I do this? And the king didn't sleep well, but Daniel did. The king couldn't sleep properly, but Daniel did in the lion's den. Can you imagine? He was supposed to be torn to bits by the lions, but he was having a good time with the pussycats. Yeah? And the king was absolutely beside himself. Why am I using this? God's guidance may bring you to the worst of places, but it's always the most perfect one. You know, you can be in a storm in your life, but if God's right there, that's the safest place. In God's guidance. Okay, you may lose everything, but you're still in the safest place. Because when God is there, you have everything. Alright? Hopefully these are promises that Christians can actually have. Okay? Parents can guide us, but their guidance are not infallible. We'll make mistakes. Sometimes others can guide us. In Galatians 1:16, the apostles, Paul wanted to speak to the apostles, but even their guidance is actually fallible. But God's guidance is never fallible. It's always infallible, right? Okay? Okay, the next part, the promise, the condition of being guided. Okay, God says, I'll guide you, but there is a condition. Okay, the next part, the condition of the divine guidance. What must we do to secure God's guidance? The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, trust in the Lord on thy heart, lean not on thy understanding, on thy ways acknowledge Him. The word acknowledge consists of two parts, okay? If you ever want God's guidance, this is a very important part that we need to take note. Number one, we must acknowledge Him. The word acknowledge is very important. Acknowledge Him means, it's like you who work under HODs or department heads, that before you make any decisions, you've got to clear with them first. That's acknowledgement. Before you do anything, you go to the head of department first. You clear with them first. You must have their signature first before you can go on. That's what it means to acknowledge Him. Okay? So when we acknowledge God, that's what the Bible says. Acknowledgement consists of two things. Okay, these two practical ways. We have to lean not to your own understanding, and you need to learn to trust God. There are two parts to this leadership. We have a lot of opinions, we have a lot of judgments, we have a lot of ways of thinking. okay? And that's not wrong. God will give us a brain to think. But you know, when it comes to a time of confusion, you're not too sure what is your basis for judgment? What's your basis for decision making? All of us have a basis for your own decision making. Did you know that? All of us have a basis for your decision making. Okay? For some people, they swear by Stephen Covey. Know Stephen Covey? The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People? They swear by it. Everything they do, their whole life is patterned after Stephen Covey. Or sometimes they have, I always think of Baskin Robbins. Anthony Robbins, or they have certain motivational speakers, you know, that, they say this and this and this, you must follow them, they swear by that. Okay? And some people, when you talk, some management gurus, they will have a background of what they think is the way forward. All of us have that too. And if you really sit down and analyze your position, you realize that all of us actually have a framework for decision making. Okay? Nothing wrong with that, except it's a framework, God's framework. Some of us, the framework in Singapore, what's the framework for decision making in our Singapore government? Correct me if I'm wrong, I think it's pragmatism. Pragmatism. What works, we just use it. Pragmatism. Okay? And of course, there are other principles of philosophy in the shop. You know what is the thinking in some of our universities in the world? Evolutionary thinking. Thinking that you must decide for your own self. Humanistic thinking. Man is the measure of all things. Everything is relative. If you want to have abortion, go ahead. It's good for you. If it's good for your situation, go ahead. You know? Never considering the conscience of the people around the person. Do you know that abortion example? By the way, abortion is murder, full stop. Okay? Now you can argue with me, God is very clear. That's murdering. Never considering the psychology of the lady who just gone through it. Just because you escaped, we did it, we were wrong, you know. But you know what, let's get rid of the problem. No, you didn't get rid of the problem, you just had another problem. You have 2 sins before God. Alright? Yes, my way of looking at this is from God's perspective. You have your way too. Okay? So, we have to be very clear. As Christians, what is your framework for decision making? I'm talking about Christians. What is your framework? Is it your framework of pragmatism? Or other philosophies? Or is it God's framework? In all decisions in life. And by the way, if Sony made an LCD TV, who will you go to for instruction on how to operate that Sony TV? You go to the Sony company, right? But they also have different models, right? And you have to go to the specific manual. Let me ask you, who created life? If you believe we come from monkeys, then we have to live by the law of the jungle. Yes? But you believe that if God created life, doesn't it make sense for us to go to Him for instruction? But you know what man is doing? The Bible says that after man, God created man, men left to seek out their own ways. Isaiah 53 and verse 6. Okay, all we like sheep have gone astray. They have gone everyone to his own way. So, we have to be very clear. Who are you acknowledging in your decision making? And the Bible says, if you are a Christian, trust in the Lord all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, what? Acknowledge Him. Make sure God sends in the dotted line before you proceed, okay? Are we depending on our own thinking? The Bible says lean not. The word lean means to incline towards. It's kind of like someone who is going to faint and you lean on something. I lean on this piano. That means I'm putting my whole weight. Am I moving the piano? Sorry, okay. Never mind. Okay, let's say I'm leaning on this, okay? The idea of leaning to your own understanding means I put my whole weight and whole decision on my understanding. That's what someone does. That's what a lot of people do. No, I think this is correct and therefore I think we should do this. No, have you considered this? No. This is the way it should be done. But have you considered these 2 other, I think, quite wise perspectives? No. This, we are leaning to our own understanding. The moment we are unwilling to allow people to come in and input to us, we're not going to grow. You know why? We will always be governed by only our own way of thinking. Okay? So, lean not to your own understanding, but the Bible also says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Now, let's put your confidence in what God says. Even though sometimes it's against what you think. Even though sometimes it's against nature. Give an example. Edwin and I are good friends, I hope. Yeah? Let's say one day I decided to be an enemy of Edward. Okay? Then I'll take away his pen, scratch his face, you know, pour paint on his door. And he knew it was me because he got CCTV. Okay? As a Christian, how should he respond to an enemy according to the Bible? Love your enemies. Say what? He just scratched my face and are you supposed to love him? That's what Jesus said. You actually love someone who hate you. Wow. That is against human nature. Many people, non-believers, will say, that is impossible. Not with our God. When he was at the cross, dying for the sins of the whole world, what did he say? Father, forgive them. For they don't know what you are doing. They are doing. Can you see? If Edward made decision from him, I'm going to get back at this pastor. Too much. You think he pastor very big? Is it? He can throw paint at my door. Is it? I'm going to call the police and arrest him. I'm going to sue him in court. Can he do that? He can call the police, but if he sue me in court, he's sinning against God. 1 Corinthians 6 is very clear. That's another area that he has to think about. But you know what he could say? I know pastor must be going through some stress. That's why he's doing all these things. But let me buy him a birthday cake or something to show him I have nothing in my heart against him. I still love him regardless of what he's doing to me. You know, when Jesus died for us, he showed us the ultimate example of love, that he would even forgive those who crucified him. That is against human logic, but that is heavenly wisdom. Can I say this? If there's anything wrong in any friendships or relationships, if we just follow God's love has a curative property, meaning that if you would practice what God says in terms of love, reconciliation is possible. If you practice our own love, it's never possible. Because our love is weak. Oh, damn. Pastor Johnny, every birthday I send him birthday card, you know, and I buy him Ferrero Rocher or whatever. You know, someone put buy the coconut one, then the chocolate one, and the, you know, there's three flavors together. Even wow, I then go to the most expensive place, and then after they throw paint on my door, you know, how would you feel? You probably I'm not going to be friends with him, not Christ. That's why sometimes Christians find it very hard to follow God. But you know what? If we just obey God, He knows the best. All right? Okay? We must acknowledge Him. Trust in the Lord all thine heart. Don't lean to your own understanding. Any questions on that? It's so important. If you can grasp this, to say, God, even though I don't understand how you can ask me to submit to a boss that is so unreasonable, and by the way, that's a biblical principle. Okay? Our servants obey your masters. Ephesians chapter 6, Colossians chapter 3. Obey your masters as you obey God. If you understand the context of the background there, in modern day context, it's our employees supposed to listen to the employer. Okay, we don't, and in fact, we don't actually talk bad about our employer at all as a Christian. Okay? If you understand what Paul is, he was talking to slaves who were routinely whipped by their masters for little infringement, and he's teaching these Christian slaves, submit to your master. Say, what? Yeah, that's God's way. And by you know, it's a result of their life, then the masters will find no reason to whip them because they're so respectful, they're doing such a good job of it, okay? So, when we go by what we think versus what God thinks, we need to make a choice. Are we going to acknowledge Him or acknowledge our own philosophy? Okay? Can I just say something? By the end of this year, how you practice this principle will determine what kind of life you will have as a Christian. If you continue to say, no, I don't care about that, you know, you don't know my situation, yeah, this is just something that I can take. You are just a guide. By the way, God's word is not a guide, it's actually a principle. We cannot go against God's word without suffering the consequences. These are maxims, these are principles of life that God put in. So as Christians, if we follow Him, we'll have a blessed life. If we don't follow His, it's up to you. It's just like if you go for a physics experiment and they say you've learned the model answer, but you choose to do something else, you're not going to get the right answer, right? It's as simple as that. I was doing hand therapy one time I was in NUH, and I was this new registrar, new surgeon. It was a very straightforward surgery, and it's supposed to do some tendon transfer. So I was kind of, you know, as a fourth-year student, I just kind of followed the professor and just learn, just right. I just remember this new surgeon did a simple operation in a complicated way. Okay, the professor was looking in and saying, very interesting. Then he asked the student, what is the standard protocol for this? Of course, the surgeon was able to relate that. Then he said, okay, why did you use another method? Then he tried to rationalize. Then the professor was saying, of course, he's being a learned man, many years, profitable for those who know, very, very experienced hand therapist. Why don't you just follow what is normal? You could have come up with more complications. You know? And of course, the register kept quiet. You know, from there I learned, if this is the way God says to go, and we go by somewhere else, we may actually generate more problems as a result. Does it make sense? You know why many people have problems in their lives today? They're not following what God says about life. Christians, we have to understand that. We have to get past the place of saying, Bible study is no longer important. It is absolutely important. Because within there, there are the gems and principles of life that will actually give you a smooth life. Okay, I'll talk more there in the service. Okay, we must acknowledge Him. And number two, we must acknowledge Him in all our ways. Sorry, in our ways. Okay, what does that mean? The word in there relates to the situation you're in. Okay? Can I just use Sister Allison as an example? Right now, is it okay? Right now, she just finished her A-levels. Okay? She's not too sure which direction she needs to take in her university. At Lord willing, she'll be able to make. And then, which course she's supposed to take. Okay? So it's kind of in transition. You know what God says? Trust in the Lord. Acknowledge in what? In all your ways. In other words, in the situation that you're in now, in the transition of deciding between this and this, acknowledge God. We have to acknowledge Him. We have to say, God, what do I do in this transition? Okay? For Sister Agnes, you see also, she's in the transition between singlehood and married life. Okay? And there are many things that she has to plan for, think about. Say, God, what am I supposed to do? Lord? How do I spend my time now? What's going to happen next time? Okay? Edward and some of the other people are in NS. My son in NS. Lord, how do I live my life? Guide me, Lord, where I should be and what I should do. Some of you in transition between looking at different things. You know what you need to do? Acknowledge God. God, what am I supposed to do? That's what it means, to acknowledge God in your ways, in what you are doing. Like, for example, I think some people are looking for a job and they're not too sure where. Say, God, I need your guidance every step. That's what God is saying. You know, all God wants is as a heavenly father to be able to guide His own children. Is that too much to ask? And if we all know God, He's not just a heavenly father, He's our what? Loving heavenly father. He has the best in His heart for us as a Christian. And all He's saying is, look, just acknowledge me. Okay? In all our ways, acknowledge Him. Okay, we place emphasis on the word. It could be in school, in business. We have to acknowledge Him in good health, in bad health, when we are well and strong, or even when in a difficult trial situation. Say, God, I'm in this situation. I'll talk about it more in the service, but if let's say you're it's a difficult situation right now, God, I blew it. What do I do? You know what? If you are willing to say, Lord, you say that the meek, I'm just put away all what I think, Lord. What does your word say? I'm going to just follow. You know what? God can actually lead you out of your wilderness. And He has for many. I was working with one couple who had multiple problems and all that kind of thing. But you know what? That's 20 years ago. But today they are serving the Lord. They are together as a family. And they're just living for Christ. Or they have multiple problems in their teenage years and all that. They grew up to love Jesus. It's possible. But you know what? We need to acknowledge someone. If we don't acknowledge anyone to help us, there's some situation, I don't want to talk to this person. He will tell me what, I don't want to listen. Sure, because you want to go your own way, that's why. You know? But God wants to guide us in all ways. But you know what? We must acknowledge Him, point number three, in all our ways. In every area of our life. The emphasis is on all. We have to trust God with all our heart, and in all our ways to acknowledge Him. And as we seek God's grace, God will guide us. Okay? Any questions? I hope to drop this in the Sunday Bible Hour. And the six steps of divine guidance, we actually talked about it last year in fairly detail. I just want to bring that up again. Okay? For those who have gone through it, it's a revision. For those who have not gone through it, I'll just quickly go through it, right, in about 5 minutes, so that at least we'll be able to see. And I actually wanted to do a case study, but maybe you can actually do it yourself then. All right? Step number one in divine guidance, number one, is prayer and submission to God. The first principle of seeking God's guidance. Number one, of course, you must be a Christian. Okay, you cannot have God's guidance if you're not a Christian. Okay, I'm not going to tell my neighbor's son what to do if he is not my son. I won't be following through with him. Okay, number one, prayer and submission. We must be willing to do what He has already shown. If you really want God's guidance as a Christian, you must be willing to do what God has already shown you. God is not going to show us the specifics unless we have done the basics. Just like in a company, if a worker has just come in, I'm not going to tell him a big project that's going to come if that worker cannot even come in punctually for his work, cannot even do the basic task that he's supposed to do in his job description. Okay? When you have a big project, maybe some companies want to secure maybe multi-million-dollar project, all right, from this big company, and they are looking for tender and all that. The smaller companies will definitely send their best men to clinch the deal. They plan for it and they send the best person. And how do you find the best person? Those people that you can trust. Okay? And those people that can do the job. What makes you think that? Please understand, God will not guide us in the specifics if you're not prepared to be faithful in the basics. This is an abiding eternal principle. Okay? So if you really want God's guidance, our hearts must be absolutely humble. That's why God will only guide the meek. Okay, be willing to do what He has already shown. Another principle is be willing to submit to earthly authorities. Who are the earthly authorities that God has put over us? Firstly is God. Who are the other earthly authorities? Don't be shy. Who are the parents? Is an earthly authority. Okay, sorry, pastoral authority. Pastors are God-given spiritual guides. Okay, in the Bible is given as well. So there's God, there is a parents, there's also the pastor. Okay, huh? Our government is an authority. Yes, we have to listen to them. All right, when it doesn't go against God's word, okay? Be very clear. You ought to obey God rather than men. Okay, if they tell you don't read your Bibles anymore, say I'm sorry. I need to obey God more than obey men. All right? Yeah, definitely. Anyone else? Anyone that's given us his authority over you, your youth leaders. They're entrusted with caring for your souls as well. They're helping me. But you know what? They are people who are concerned, you know? Or even in the camp, for example, youth camp, there are youth camp leaders. And there's maybe 10 youth under one camp leader. You know what? The principle is I'll listen to my camp leader because he's been appointed to take care of us. It's a simple, basic principle of authority. Okay? And if we cannot, why must I listen to you? Why must I do this sketch? I don't want to do this sketch. I want to do something else. Have you ever spoken to young children? You say you have one, two, or three choice. They always want the fourth choice. Have you ever spoken to some people? A or B? No, I want C. You know what? Sometimes parents get stumped. Uh-oh, my child is so wise. Right? No, he's not being wise. He's just being rebellious. So what you do is, you want A or B? No, I want C. Sorry, there's only A and B. You have a choice. It's only A and B. Oh, I want A. Okay, then you want that. Okay? You don't have to get all flustered because your child comes up with a third point. All right? Remember, you know when the child comes up with a third alternative, he has a problem. You think about that. You think through that. There's actually a problem. It's an unwillingness to submit. And it will be very hard to find God's will in that person's life. I've been 30 years as a Christian, I've seen that. I've experienced the failures of some of this. And I hope you understand. When God, as there are many fathers here, right? I believe all our fathers love our children, yes? Would we make a decision for our children that's wrong? We'll say, I'm going to give it to them. So I just came in. I'm going to ask him to go into the jungle and be bitten by mosquitoes. We won't do that. Why? Because we care for our child. We care for our child. As fathers, what do you think God thinks? What do you think God thinks? God will never lead us astray. Number one, we need to submit to Him. And of course, number three in submission is complete surrender of your will. Okay, number one. Number two, clearing the past. What does it mean to clear the past? Number one, deal with your old sins. Deal with the sins in your life. We cannot move forward if we keep holding on to our baggage. Number one. Number two, give up old ways of seeking God's will. Let me say, God, you know, if everything is sweet, if everything is nice, then I will follow. Sometimes things may not be so nice, but you still need to follow. Things may not work out as well as it seems, but you know, if you're saying, God, I'm going to trust you first rather than my situation. That's a very important principle. I'm going to trust God first rather than my sight of the situation. Remember Peter and the disciples, they were in the boat, it was storming, and Jesus came. And Peter and Jesus says, don't be afraid, it is I. Peter said, well, Lord, if it's you, cause me to come on the water. And what did Jesus say? Come. And so Peter, of course, stepped on the water and he walked to Christ. Peter walked on water. You know? But what happened? The Bible says, when he began to see the wave, the situations around him, he got afraid and he sank. Tell you what, the situations will never be convenient. The situations sometimes will not contribute to your peace. Many Christians make decisions based on their situation. You cannot. Because sometimes situations are just situations. It comes and goes. How many of you remember Yao Yao? No, Yao Yao? I was just talking to my daughter. Yao Yao is a very nice yogurt ice cream, right? Is it? I don't know how you pronounce. It's called, how do you pronounce it? L-L-A-O. How do you pronounce it? Yao Yao, is it? Yao Yao, Lao Lao. Yeah, so you see, initially I also thought Lao Lao. You say, no, Yao Yao. It's like, well, okay. And you go to Causeway Point, the Lao Lao, Lao Lao. Yao Yao ice cream is like, wow, lots of long queue. And, you know, you can wait half an hour to get it, and kind of thing. But yesterday they went in and no queue. Why? Fashion comes and goes. Remember the punk hairstyle of the 1980s? The breakdancing of the 1980s? Where is it now? Remember the Centerpoint kids of the 1980s? Where is it now? There are too many malls.
All the Centerpoint uncles.
Like in Singapore, Centerpoint, those who remember, Centerpoint was the first McDonald's was there, if I'm not wrong. So all the secondary school children would hang out there. That's why there were articles written about the Centerpoint kids, you know, hanging out. But it comes and goes. In 1981, I saw this British guy who has punk hairstyle that I still remember because it was like sharp here, sharp there. And then my first thought is, how is he going to get on the bus? You know, it's like, wait, excuse me, sorry. But the punk hair, of course, there are still punk hairstyles today. But you know, it's not as so-called glamorous. Why? Fashions come and go. But no, for us in our situations, when we make decisions based on fashions or based on the trials of our lives, you know, God gives insight into what's happening. Does that make sense? And if we follow the situation, we may be going down a wrong track. But if we follow what God says in a situation, we'll be preserved when the whole thing passes by. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? It's so important for us to understand that. We have to find new ways of thinking through our problems, new ways of looking at God. What is your principle? Clear the past, clear the old ways of decision making. Number three, search and use the scriptures. As a Christian, I say this, if you are looking for God's will, I personally, as a pastor, I don't say it in a bad way. I don't care if you're looking for a job, wanting to get married. God has answers to every area of your life. Searching the Bible is a number one priority. If you truly want God's guidance, you will need to go through. If you don't know what passages, speak to your dad, your mom, godly men and ladies in the church. They can at least give you some passages to guide you. Okay, we've got sorts. We've got Bible programs that you can click on. Okay, relationship. Generally, you won't find that word, okay, in Bible, or friendship, or whatever you click. And sometimes verses will come out. Say, oh, you just read them and seek God's guidance. For example, what kind of friends should we make? Okay, and Bible is very clear. Godly friends that bring you towards God, or ungodly friends that bring you towards the world. Very clear decision then. Okay, I'm going to follow godly friends. You know, if an ungodly friend brings me towards the world and cause me to do things I shouldn't be doing, it's an obvious choice. I follow my godly friends. Does it make sense? Okay, these are decisions you make. You need to seek the word. It is absolutely exasperating for me as a pastor when people say, oh, I know what God wants me to do. I say, how do you find it out? You know what? There's this lightning come down from heaven one day and I believe God wants me to. Whatever. You know, it's like, God doesn't guide that way anymore. We need to go to the word. Okay? I'm not dismissing situations that God can use. But I'm saying the primary focus of His guidance is in the word. Okay? After you have searched the scriptures and come up with, okay, I believe God wants me to go this way, and that's where, as you are doing, you weigh the pros and cons. God does give us a mind to think. If I do this, what will happen? And the pros and con is not dependent on the economic value that I get. It's not dependent on what is it for me. But when we weigh the pros and con, we say, God, as a Christian, how do I glorify your name? Because as a Christian, our goal in life is to glorify Him. And when you glorify Him, He's going to take care of you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. God doesn't dismiss the fact that you need things, but God says, hey, let me take charge, and I'll lead you to the thing that you need to do. The best way. Does that make sense? I was sharing, I think, with Brother Desmond and some of the people, you know, in this day and age, you know, I've been preaching very hard on sin and all that. I realized that our modern-day Christians may not need to preach a hard message of sin. They need to learn how to seek God's will between what is the better and what is God's best. And I'm afraid that many Christians who may hate sin and not smoke, but they always settle for God's second best, when actually they can have God's best. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? Okay? It's very important. Weigh the pros and cons. And then after that, in step 5, as you weigh the pros and cons, set a direction and you say, okay, Lord, I believe based on your word and the pros and cons, I'll take this direction. And then step number 5, let God overrule. Let God overrule. Meaning that you want to go down this road. If God closes the door, okay, that's clear, that's not from God. A good illustration I can give you is, I think I shared before, but I'll share again, this is so evidently God's guidance. When we were supposed to move from Christchurch to a new place in Sembawang, and as a pastor, I was the notice to move was given by my friend in Christchurch. He's actually a HOD there. He's in charge of the rental. He says, sorry, John, they want you out already. I say, what? Okay, because Christchurch is an Anglican school, so I'm non-Anglican. We are non-Anglican, so we're given some time to move out. So, of course, as a pastor at Kallang Kabo, you know, for seeking God's will and all that. And finally, there were some choices, and we landed on one. And it was very clear that it was a rush decision because it was given, yeah, it was big, we can do things, but it was in a location that wasn't exactly the best. So, but, you know, because we have 1 or 2 months more before we have to move, so I decided, okay, but let me just sign and just go ahead. And then when the church members went there, it's like, it was raining. You know, maybe God purposely painted a gloomy picture of the whole place. You know, I don't know. It was raining. It was wet. Near the forest that may have mosquitoes and all that. People, there's a lot of negative criticism. It's like, you know, I was talking to my wife that night. My wife said, well, we're not too sure whether that God's will, you know. And we just left it to God. Monday morning, there was a Sunday. Monday morning, we received a telephone call from the housing agent. I said, sorry, Johnny, you have to sign the contract again. I said, why? Because the person that got you to sign is not the landlord. It's the tenant that's trying to get out of the tenancy. Then I said, then I don't want to sign already. Give me back my check. And you know what? At that point, it was very clear. Wrong move. Psh, you know? But God overruled. Do you know that the church voted for it? The church voted for us to move. God overruled. Amen? And don't tell me God doesn't rule. And that time, I was so glad. The housing agent said, oh, okay, well, then in that case, never mind. So he met me outside Christ Church, gave me back the check. I tore the check in front of him. And he gave me the contract, we tore it. And God sent us to Telopo, which our membership doubled. Now, when Brother Francis came and all the people came at Telopo, God overruled. Does that make sense? We can have our own way. We need to be willing for God to overrule. God, we already settled already there. You know, some of us will think, but I already settled already. Well, okay, I just sign law. No. God wants us to look at His overruling. And finally, assurance and unease. At that time when we were very uneasy. But you know what? God showed us that wasn't the right place. As long as we stay in the Word, follow God's guidance, we will never go wrong. Best I've gone from 8 to where we had, I remember prayer meetings were just my family. Sunday school was just my children, with maybe Sister Isa. But you know what? God has grown us. It's all God. None of us. It's all God. But I want to encourage you is this. God can lead us, but we must want His leading. All right? Any questions? There's actually a case that's supposed to divide into groups. I'd like you to think through. Maybe next week we will just touch on a little bit of this. There are three areas in groups of develop a plan to help you to find the will of God, overcoming the sin of cigarette smoking, looking for direction in the life. This is Allison, that's for you specifically. But of course, for anyone who's looking for direction in life, taking a work assignment overseas for over a year where there's no church, based on the 6 steps shown, counsel a brother, okay? So you can do practice that, okay? God's word is definitely practical, but please look at that. Maybe next week we'll just spend some time looking through that. I'm very concerned that people need to find God's will, not just do our own thing. We won't do our own thing. There will be a lot of undoing next time that we need to do. All right? Any questions? Any questions at all? Okay, why don't we just close the word of prayer? We've got about 20 minutes of just rest before the service. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you will guide us, every single one of us. Lord, we're not here by chance or by coincidence. And Father, every time you put us in a place, you have a specific will, especially when the Word of God is taught. And Lord, there is no coincidences with you. And Father, you do all things after the counsel of your own will in Ephesians chapter 1. We know, Lord, that a God like you doesn't make any mistakes. The world may criticize you, men may have their own thoughts. But Father, this world may sneer at you, but we stand confident, Lord, in a God that doesn't make mistakes. Father, you just don't make mistakes. And Father, we pray for a humble heart to realize that we can submit ourselves to you with full confidence that you will guide us in the way that we should go. I pray for every young person, Lord, specifically for those who are seeking direction. The Lord, they will take this to heart. That they will be firstly confident that you will lead them. And secondly, Lord, they will put full trust in you and put away their own ways of thinking and put your ways of thinking into their hearts. Guide us, Lord, as a group, and I pray, even as individuals, if there's someone here today who has never trusted Christ, I pray that they will come to a place of understanding how much you love them. And that, Lord, yeah, there may be consequences that they may have to put up with, but yet, Lord, we know that your love can restore. Lord, we'll thank you for what you're going to do. Bless our time of just fellowshipping and getting to know one another in the next 20 minutes. We'll thank you, Lord. Bless the service to follow, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.